message, New Year's message, 2017, a year of expansion. A year of expansion. And there's a quote that kind of grabbed my attention this week. 20th century Austrian poet Rainer Maria Rilke said this. He said, "And now we welcome the new year, full of things that have never been." I love that. We welcome the new year, full of things that have never been. I thought that was a nice, poetic, almost prophetic kind of statement. And well, church, since it is a new year, it's a good time for me to ask you this. Have you been sensing that you have outgrown your present situation and related to your giftedness, your area of service, and or your calling? I mean, are you sensing that it's time to raise the ceiling and move out the walls so that you can grow into your God-given giftedness, take it to the next level? Anybody felt like that? Yeah, because, you know, there's the word expansion and then there's the word contraction. And I felt like there's been a lot of pressure on folk the last year, particularly, and maybe in the last couple of years, I can testify myself, that it's almost seemed like there's a time where you can almost feel like instead of expanding, you're contracting spiritually. And you say, wow, you know, I just feel like I'm ready to just see something new in my giftings that God's given me, in the area of service he's got me operating in the church outside, in the calling, the purposes of God. There's got to be something more. There's another level. Well, listen, that's an understandable place to get. I think it's a good place to be right now. And that was the situation that a group of biblical prophets under Elisha's leadership found themselves in their day. And some of you may say, okay, please remind me, who was Elisha? Who was Elisha? Well, Elisha was the 9th century BC prophet who took the place of the prophet Elijah after he was taken up to heaven. You remember the story, "Swing low, sweet chariot." Ribbit? "Coming for to carry me home." That's about the chariot coming of God to pick up the prophet Elijah and take him to heaven. And after he was taken up, Elisha succeeded him. He's known as the young prophet who requested and received a double portion of Elijah's spiritual anointing. Do you remember that part of the story? He said, "I want to have twice as much of God's anointing and grace on my life as you have had." And interestingly, Scripture records that God performed exactly twice as many miracles through Elisha as took place through Elijah. So he got what he asked for. Pretty amazing. And you know, I'm certain that God did that because Elisha's motives were pure. His main goal was not to be better or more powerful than Elijah, but he wanted to expand the ministry he had inherited in order to accomplish more for God. Elisha had a grasp of what I want to call this morning spiritual expansionomics. Spiritual expansionomics. And by that I mean the laws or the ways that giftedness, areas of service and calling are consciously grown and enlarged by you and I as God's people in Christ. Say with me, spiritual expansionomics. Spiritual expansionomics. It sounds pretty technical. And like maybe there's something to it. I really believe there is. And you know, because Elijah's reputation was that he thought and acted in accordance with spiritual expansionomics. Because, I mean, think about it. He basically said to Elijah, he said, "I want what you have to the second power." Expansionomics. I mean, this guy was like pretty technical in how he asked. It just made sense that because that was his reputation, because of what he had done when he saw the prophet go and he received that double portion. It only makes sense that in 2 Kings chapter 6, 1-2, it said one day the group of prophets that Elisha was in charge of complained to him. Read that with me. "The place where we live is too small. So give us permission to go to the Jordan River and cut down some trees so that we can build a place to live." All right, Elisha answered. The place where we live is too small, so give us some permission. I like the way it was in the Message version. They said, we'll build a roomier place. And Elisha said, go ahead. Now, perhaps you can identify with this today in your life. What I'm saying is that from deep within, you're crying out, I need more room. I need more room. I'm feeling cramped in my calling, in my gifting, in my sphere of service, the things that the Lord has me doing. I want more. I need more room. I need to breathe, God. I need to expand. I need to go to the second power, exponentialize what God's doing in my life. Well, everyone, please know that's also my heart cry too. The place where I'm living in God is too small. Are you with me? The dimension of what I've been experiencing is too limited. Want something more. Well then, dear ones, it's time for a shift in perspective on your and my part. Yes, I submit to you that in order to grow, you and I must first take our thinking into a new location. I'm calling it the Elisha mindset. Got to keep the J and the S proper. The Elisha mindset. Into spiritual expansionomics. It's like I've got to put on that mindset. Now, listen, do you believe with me that, as the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is? I mean, our thinking controls a big part of what our life outcome is. That's why the Apostle Paul said that if you're going to worship God completely, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to think different. And that's the thing that I want to say that I hear the Spirit saying to us is that, hey, when these strategic seasons come and the calendar switches, it's a new year, look, God honors these timetables that we operate by. I mean, when you do some legal thing, God honors it in this world. I mean, if you enter into a contract, God honors the contract. He holds you accountable for what you entered into on earth. If you enter into a covenant with someone, God honors the legality of it. And when the calendar turns and our society and world says it's a new year, I can't sit back and say, uh-uh. To me, it's still 2016. I mean, for a while, I do keep writing my checks for 2016 because it's more just because I can't quite get my brain there. But I can protest all day long and say, hey, I'm not accountable to 2017, but I am, and so are you. And God says, yeah, exactly. And when I look down at the calendars and the dates set by men and the turning of the pages of human experience, God says, I honor those seasons and times too. And so when there's a new year upon you and there's new opportunities, the Lord says, look, yes, it's time to get a new mindset. It's time for some new thinking. And I'll be the first one to step up and say, yes, I'm ready to have an enhancement of my thinking. And I would like this year, according to what the Holy Spirit's offering, take up the offer to have the Elisha mindset in 2017 and have spiritual expansionomics be where I'm coming from. And this is what I hear the Spirit saying right now. And so drawing from our Elisha story this morning, I want to make it personal and share with you four key moves to make in 2017 in order to expand your giftedness, your area of service, and your calling. All right? Are you with me? All right. The first move you need to join with me in is this. Be willing to be taken out of your comfort zone. Be willing to be taken out of your comfort zone. Now, saints, we see in our story that the prophets submitted their plan and proposal to Elisha. He was their spiritual overseer. In fact, you know, I just saw on YouTube last night that they think that they have found the actual house where Elisha the prophet lived. And they found some pottery that had an inscription. It's 9th century, and they had this inscription on it, Elisha, a couple broken shards of this pottery, and they said, man, the odds that it's anybody else but him in this particular thing, I mean, it's pretty amazing because he headed up the school of the prophets. And so these prophets, you know, that were originally with him when he was traveling around with Elijah, because remember, Elijah just kind of was here and there and everywhere. Elijah would appear out of nowhere. But when Elisha started following him around, he knew that Elijah was an itinerant prophet. Elisha was the one that was called to set up an actual school, set up a place. And so he started out rather informally wherever he was, and where those guys were living together. I don't know where the domicile was that they were housed, but they came to him that day and said, "Hey, Elisha, we're just too cramped. All of us cramming into this little hut or whatever it was they were living in, this little fraternity. We got to have more room to live. And plus our families." And, you know, so they come to Elisha and they said, "Can we submit this plan and proposal to you?" And Elisha said, "I hear God in that. And besides, I'm into spiritual expansionomics. So of course," he said, "yes, go ahead." And so they gathered their resources and they sought out their building materials. Now, the task of building or construction was not necessarily a task the prophets were familiar with. Let me just say this. It was out of their comfort zone. They were prophets. They weren't carpenters. For example, we know that they had to borrow an axe head and that one of the prophets used it clumsily, dropping it into the river. You remember this story? It says one of them was cutting a tree as he was. His axe fell into the river, his axe head. "Oh, sir," he cried, "it was a borrowed axe." "Where did it fall?" the man of God asked. When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it into the water at that spot. And then the axe head floated to the surface and they retrieved it. Wow, what an amazing story. But it just goes to show that, you know, these guys were borrowing tools. They had heard a word from the Lord and they thought, "Hey, it's too small here. We want to expand." Man, the spirit of Elisha, their leader, was on them. But it was out of their comfort zone to be whacking down trees and, you know, trying to hew them and build a cabin or a big, how do you want to say, dormitory or whatever the various homes they were building for themselves. That was not in their comfort zone. And the story reveals that. Now, I believe this story illustrates why, when it comes to developing your gifts in ministry and growing to the next level, it's crucial to do a couple of things. Number one, it's crucial to embrace the empowerment that spiritual oversight can bring. You know, it's important to get the blessings and the sanctions of leaders in your life, spiritual leaders in your life. And even in some cases, the blessings of natural leaders in your life. And, you know, here at the church, we're really making an effort right now to try to find a way to equip you to come into the fullness of your calling, your gifting, and your area of service by offering to you a spiritual evaluation and profile provided by the church through one of our staff members, Sandy Mascali. Sandy's already been underway for some months now, working with folks, and we made the presentation to you some time ago about how, through a process of testing and review and evaluation and questionnaires, under Holy Spirit-guided insight and counsel, Sandy's able to help you come to a assessment of how God's gifted you, what ways he's been calling you, and areas of service that you can be involved in. And it's not just inside the church. It's how your gifts can also apply outside, perhaps in the marketplace, place you work, neighborhood, family. It's a broad-based equipping. It's really important that you understand that we do this and we're doing this not because it's just something that we feel is, a core curriculum item alone. It is that. But I think it's strategically timed right now in this time where the Lord's saying, "Hey, the spirit of Elisha, so to speak, expansionomics, I want to expand my people, the place they've been living in their giftedness, the place they've been living in their calling, the place they've been living, you know, in terms of their areas of service. It's time to expand that." And God's gifted us with someone equipped to do that and help you. So there's a very practical way our church can help you. Now, I know some of you, a number of you, have taken her up on that, and you've gone through the process or are going through this evaluation. But there's a whole lot more of you ready in the coming months to do it. And I really hope you'll seek out Sandy. Sandy, raise your hand. She's sitting right there today, but most of you know her. But please, and men as well as women, it's so important, guys. We've had some men take her up on it. It's been more women so far. We need to have men as well who say, look, it's time for me, if I'm going to expand and get beyond the place where I am limited, I've got to have a divine help, you know what I'm saying? I've got to have sanction of spiritual authority in my life that can help equip me that way. And we haven't been able to offer that before for, really to any extent at all for years and years and years. So my point is, I want to give you something practical so that you'll know what tree to chop. You'll know how to chop, what tools to use, and so forth. We want as few axe heads lost as possible. You see what I'm saying? Because if you have someone helping you and coaching you, you know how to secure the axe head. You know, you put those little metal things and put those in there so they don't go flying out because it expands the top of the handle. I mean, there's things that you can be taught by spiritual leadership. So I wanted you to know that we don't want to make this too ethereal. We really have a very practical way to equip you. And just as a process of filling out some papers and sitting for some evaluations. And man, you can just be encouraged greatly with what God's going to say about you and how you can expand this year in the things of God with intentionality. In other words, with specific awareness and knowledge of what God wants to do. Are you hearing me on that? So I just really want to encourage you with that right now. So the empowerment and blessing of spiritual leadership. When those guys said, hey, I'm too cramped. I'm ready to move on. And spiritual leadership weighed in and said, here's the blessing. Okay, go do it. And I put my hands on you and bless you. I want to impart to you the knowledge that's necessary instead of helping you find your axe head later. You see what I'm saying? So let us help you on the forefront in 2017. I would love before this year is over to have every member of our congregation have gone through this process. That would be a fulfillment of this prophetic word today. And so I really want to encourage you because life is being imparted through it. And then the second thing is, once you get that evaluation and that information, once you get that empowerment, be prepared to work hard and enter into a phase of building and development. You see what I'm saying? In other words, once you get that information, like Jesus said, now that you know these things, blessed are ye if what? Ye do them. Okay, in other words, it's one thing to say, wow, I see the plans. I see where I could go. Look at the layout. Wow, there it is. Thank you, Jesus. Now what are you going to do? Now you got to actually build. You've got to do the things that are there and say, Lord, I'm going to put my hand to it and get ready to work hard for the kingdom. And, again, I want to make sure you understand the kingdom or the realm of God affects every area of your life. Your workplace, your home, your neighborhood, it's everywhere. So all of this applies, but you got to say, Lord, this is a year to work hard and enter into building and development, whatever that takes to build and develop. You know, if you are an athlete, if you're an athlete and the coach says to you, hey, look, you got to, this is a year of building and development. You know what that means. You know you're hitting the gym. You know you're hitting the weights. You know you're running more, right? You know you're doing your drills more. You know what it means if your coach says, hey, we're going to develop this year as a year of building and development. You know it means building up all, and it takes work. And what does work involve typically? Work is spelled S-W-E-A-T, sweat. I mean, you have to literally get into it. And so what I want to encourage you is, I'm believing there's going to be, when you see what God has for you, that built into that is going to be an anointing of motivation. And you're going to say, look, Lord, there's faith that comes to say, I'm ready to get to work. I'm ready to get to work. And when you see the tools and stuff, I'm ready to get to work. Let's go to work. Let's go to work for the kingdom. And I want to say, though, that takes sacrifice. That takes some stretching. Please don't be surprised when you're taken out of your comfort zone during times of enlargement. Are you getting the point? Right. Just ask a pregnant woman. In times of enlargement, you're going to be uncomfortable. But that's part of it. It's a big first move we've got to be willing to do. Are you with me? Okay. Another key move you need to join with me in then is this. Be willing to get out of the comfort zone. Secondly, then go to the source, the Holy Spirit. Go to the source, the Holy Spirit. Because look what happened in our story. It says, the company of the prophets said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Read that with me. Let us go to the Jordan. Let's read it again. Let us go to the Jordan. Now, it's interesting. I want to ask you, why the Jordan River? There it is. Why the Jordan River? Why did they say that? Well, on a practical level, the Jordan River's location yielded a ready supply of building materials. You see a lot of trees around there, don't you? Yes. However, the selection of the river was not just a practical choice. It was that. They needed a place to cut down some logs, okay? No, in moving to the river, the prophets were moving to a place of historical and spiritually symbolic significance. Do you remember these words of our Master Jesus? He said, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow, what? Rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Spirit. The Spirit. This is one of the verses from which we derive our church name. People say, why are you called the river? Well, yes, the Truckee River is right on the other side of those train tracks. There's no question that there's a geographic connection to why we've named the church the river. But the deeper reason is this reason. This is the reason. Because we want to be a place where the Holy Spirit is flowing. And yes, so we see then in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is represented as a river. Jesus said so. A river of divine empowerment, or what the Bible calls anointing. Say with me, anointing. It's not a common word used often, is it? But it's a biblical word and a very valuable word. And I think it's really beautiful. The river of the Spirit, and see this person being awash in the river of God. It's an anointing and empowerment. Listen, dear one, when you received the Holy Spirit, when you accepted Christ, you received the anointing. He brought the river into your life. And that anointing is supposed to do more than simply enable you to demonstrate spiritual gifts. It is for that. But it's also designed to bring progress into your spiritual life. Are you with me? Its design and desire is to stimulate growth and expansion in your life in accordance with God's will. And that anointing is what some Bible teachers refer to as the Memshach anointing, which in Hebrew means actually expansion or to spread. In other words, this is an anointing of expansion, and it makes it possible, as God directs, for you to multiply and expand beyond your immediate sphere of limitations in giftedness, in service, and calling. Now listen, God wants you to recognize that anointing and let it function in you. We are always challenged in this world because the pressures of this world that are on us are constantly trying to contract us. The evil one wants to contract us. The Bible even says in the last days, the evil one will attempt to wear down God's people, wear us down. So we contract instead of expand. And you know, why is it that we will go through these periods where it just seems like, I don't know, we will just go through periods of contraction in our personal lives or contraction in the church's life? I don't know. And it's like the old saying, why do I need to keep being refilled with the Holy Spirit? It's very simple, because I leak. I don't know that we can always, in our fragility, we can always sustain certain levels of grace. I mean, it's like you go up on the mountain and you have an amazing experience with Jesus. Peter, James, and John, they see him transfigured in his glory. And then they come down the mountain and they don't even have enough faith to cast out a demon. And you just say, how can that be? How can you have seen Jesus in such a magnificent thing? And then you come down the hill and you go, I don't know, we're having a hard time trying to cast this demon out, Jesus. I don't know what's going on here. It's like, of course, because we do have vicissitudes. We do have fluctuations in our spiritual potency. Why is it that you can't hold your breath forever? Because when you inhale, what? You expand your lungs. But you can't hold your breath forever. You gotta what? Exhale, and then it contracts. I don't know. It's the way God made it. that there are seasons where you're going to inhale in the kingdom. And I want to be able to be proud to say at the end of this year, yes, I did inhale God. I did inhale God. I expanded my lungs, spiritually speaking. We sing the song, "You're the breath in our lungs." Do we really understand that? Take a deep breath. I mean, the other night, I mean, it was raining a week or two ago, and man, I walked out, the air was so clean. I stood on my front porch and I went as deep as I could expand my lungs. I took in that beautiful fresh air. And I thought to myself, why don't I do that more? Why do I just occasionally, it occurs to me that I should take a deep draft, if you will, inhalation of this pure air. I don't know. We are just human beings. And we go like this. The spiritual life is like this. I don't know why. It ebbs and flows. But here's the deal. When the Lord says it's time to inhale, loved ones, it's time for us to inhale. It's time to receive. And he knows that we've been contracted too long. And I think it's time that the wombs that were contracted expand. There's time to give birth to things too. Is that right? The anointing for expansion. God says, recognize it right now and let it function in you. Yes, dear one, if you desire to grow to the next level in your gifts, area of service and calling, you need to foster a continual awareness of the Holy Spirit being the source of that giftedness. And, you know, you say, but isn't this stuff that we should do all the time? Yes, I know. I just don't know why it has to, God gets out a highlighter. And it's now. And there's grace when he speaks it to actually do it. That's the thing. Man, you know, to even follow the Lord, we need his grace. That's why I said we start the year with grace. But this also means becoming more deeply established in the truth of God's word, because look at this. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The tree of life by the river. Psalm 1 says, the man of God and woman of God, their delight is in the law of the Lord, which is his word. In his law, he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by what? Rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. He will expand. She will expand. Whatever they do will prosper. Prosperity means what? Increase. To expand. So the Bible is telling us that God's looking right now, that just like those prophets said, hey, let's get down by the Jordan River. And they wanted to cut down those trees and build their homes on the riverbank. There's some really neat homes, you know, on our river going through downtown Reno. There's some really neat homes on the river on the way to Guerneville, on the Russian River. Anybody ever seen some of them? I mean, you know, it's neat to have a house on the river. And the Lord just saying, but realize that this whole idea is coming also to realize that you're like a tree, and the man of God or woman of God is in the Word. They're expanding their hunger for the Word of God. Expanding the hunger for the Word of God. I go through periods where I want to read my Bible more than other times. I don't know about you. I mean, and of course, I spend a lot of time in the Bible preparing sermons, but the truth is in my personal life. But lately I've found I've been wanting to read the Word more, just for the fun of reading it. And I say, Lord, that's what I've got to do in this year. I've got to be a person that is, because the Bible says the Spirit and the Word agree. If we have all of the Word but none of the Spirit, we dry up. If we have all of the Spirit but none of the Word, we blow up. And if we have both the Spirit and the Word together agreeing, we grow up. And that's what we want to do, is we want to say, Lord, so let there be a greater hunger for your word to come into my life. I got to press in to God for spiritual renewal, for the flow of the Spirit, the flow of the word into all areas of my life. Because the Father has an overflow of spiritual power and energy for you and I to serve out of. He wants to expand our understanding of the word. I have a desire this year that you would even hear from me when I'm speaking. You'll say, man, the Lord's expanded his understanding of the word. There's an expansion of what he's bringing to us from the scripture. I hope that you do. I hope you do. Because that's in my heart. And I hope that it's found in your life and in the things you're speaking and the things you're thinking and the things you're saying. There's a third key move you need to join with me in, and it's this. Step into new things. Step into new things. Joshua 3, verse 4, remember when the Lord spoke to Joshua as he was getting ready to take the promised land? He says, you're going to know which way to go since what? You have never been this way before. I want the Lord to take me to where I've never been before. One of the reasons I was always fascinated with Star Trek was because of the intro when it says, to boldly go where no man has gone before. That's why, I mean, there's something about that that said, I want that. I want to go where no one has gone before. I want that in God. I want to go somewhere where I haven't gone before. And, but you know, you got to be willing to step into it. Step into new things. Church, I want to remind you that the Jordan River is where the Israelites crossed over, yes, into that promised land of Canaan under Joshua. And it's also the place where generations later, John the Baptist preached and baptized crowds of people into repentance and faith before Jesus came to introduce Jesus, remember? Now, it's so interesting that when they crossed into that promised land, the priests, it said they held the Ark of the Covenant and the waters receded and all the people walked through the waters. I mean, probably ankle deep, who knows? But they walked through the Jordan River into the promises of God. And they had to step into new things to do that. And when you were called by John the Baptist and he said, come down into this water so I can baptize you, you had to step into that water. It was stepping into something new to come into the things of God. And so prophetically, the Jordan speaks of new life and entering into the promises of God. And so when those prophets that day said, let's go to the Jordan River, they were prophetically saying, symbolically saying, metaphorically saying, in essence, let's step into new things. Let's step into the new things of God. I mean, we're going to get out of our comfort zone here, right? We're going to go back to the source, that river, that source of life, which speaks of the Spirit, and we're ready to step into the new thing that the Lord has for us. Ready to step into the new thing. So let me ask you, are you in a place of transition into the new things God has for you? You say, you know, it seems like I am ready for a transition. I really am. It's going to involve stepping into it, something new in the Lord, and saying, Lord, I want you to take me where I've never been before. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Maybe I walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet would ever wander, that my faith will be made stronger. You know that song, right? That song is all about that. I want to step into something new. And I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. Isn't that what it says? When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I mean, the whole idea there is we've been singing about songs that I think the Lord is taking us up on. Right? The Bible says, watch out what you do. So I was just singing because it had a good beat. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters like with a margarita or something. No, no, that's not it, folks. Now, maybe the Lord will let you have a margarita if it's, you know, a virgin or something. But my point is simply this, that we sing this stuff and the Lord goes, all right, I hear you. I hear that prayer. And what does he say? You want to step into some new things? Lord, take me where I've never been before. Does anybody here want to go where they've never been before? Okay. And you know, for a guy like me and with my condition, this is a big step, folks. Because I don't know. I go, Lord, do I have what it takes to even, you know, get off this and walk over there when this is over? I mean, seriously. I mean, sometimes it's that way. We have to go in faith, though. I don't know any other way to go. So I'm ready to step into some new things. And I hope you are too. That's a move you got to be willing to make, because when the Lord says step, step, you got to step. There was a song we used to sing when I was in junior high. We had a youth group. It says, you got to move when the Spirit says move, oh Lord. You got to move when the Spirit says move. When the Spirit says move, you got to move, oh Lord. You got to move when the Spirit says move. Any of you remember that old song? Yeah, you got to step when the Spirit says to step, oh Lord. You've got to step when the Spirit says step. When the Spirit says step, you got to step, oh Lord. You got to step when the Spirit says step. I hope that didn't look too much like Steve Martin. But I will tell you, if it did, just cut me a little slack, because it still holds true. it still holds true. Listen, today Jesus is inviting you to share his resurrection life. All things are being made new. Your destiny is awaiting you. Some people say, "How? I'm not sure. I think it might be over." No, it's never over till it's actually over. Your destiny is still yet to be fulfilled. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. But loved one, if you desire to grow to the next level in your giftedness or area of service and calling, then there is a fourth key move that you need to join me in. I said there were four. It's this. And this is a big one. It's exciting, though. Determine to live in the place of miracles. Determine to live in the place of miracles. I wanted to pull up the definition for you just one more time so you'd remember. Miracle, a surprising and welcome event that cannot be explained by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of divine agency. Do you like that definition? The Jordan River, where Elisha sent the prophets to build, was historically a place of miracles. I mean, it was not only a place where past generations had encountered God, it was also a place where miracles occurred in the prophet's own generation. For example, in 2 Kings chapter 2, it records how both Elijah and Elisha struck the Jordan with the prophet's cloak, and the waters parted, enabling them to cross. Many prophets actually witnessed this event, and it is astonishing, isn't it? But they saw it. We also know that the Jordan was a river of miraculous healing. The story of Naaman, a commander of the Syrian army, was healed of leprosy as he dipped in the Jordan. You remember that story? That's from 2 Kings 5. It was also a place of miraculous provision. Elijah was fed by the ravens at the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. 1 Kings 17 tells us that story. And so there's this history of Jordan being a place of miracles in their own lifetime. It wasn't like they just had to look at the past. They said, no, we've seen it be a place of miracles right now. And they were saying, you know what? If there's somewhere we're going to build the school of the prophets, if there's somewhere we're going to be making room for ourselves, if we're anything about this whole spiritual expansionomics of our leader, Elisha, if we want that mindset and go to the next power exponentially in our things with God, then we need to be at the place where miracles happen. And we need to build where miracles happen. You see what I'm saying? And they made a deliberate decision to say, I want to be where that miracle possibility exists. And now the prophets are returning to that very place of miracles and encounters with God. And they were saying, we're building here. Yes, church, it's time to make room. Listen, don't settle for monument thinking. Today, hear your Heavenly Father saying, yes, child, it honors me when you talk about miracles of the past. It ignites your faith when you revisit places where I have moved in past times. However, now is the time to make a decision and say this, I am going to live in the place of miracles in this year. This is where my Father has called me to build, settle down, and grow. And I'm not going to settle for anything less. I'm going to live in the place of miracles. What do you think about that? Well, you know, God's saying, come on down to the Jordan. I'm going to adopt the mindset of the great father of modern missions, William Carey, who challenges me with this. Read it with me. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. It's one of my favorite sayings. Expect great things from God. That's the Elisha mindset. Spiritual expansion. Expansionomics, what are the laws? I'm expecting great things from God, and I'm going to attempt great things for God. I want to challenge each of you to join me in this. Like Elisha, will you ask today for an increase in Christ's anointing on your life as you begin this new year, specifically for the purpose to expand your giftedness and service in order to accomplish more for God? I do not ask you to do it just for some selfish, vain, self-serving purpose. I ask you to do this for the advancement of God, because I'm of the assumption that all of us are living our lives for the glory of God and his purposes, that we want to accomplish more for him. What I'm encouraging you with this morning from the Lord is this. You don't need to wait for someone to sponsor your dream. No, this is your time to expand. The anointing and grace for progress and expansion is upon your life right now. As we begin the new year, time to grow and expand beyond what your mind can imagine. And so I'm asking you to start making plans for the greater and higher level you want to function in, because this is your season for progress. You can say, this is my set time for growth, increase, and expansion, and you can see it realized by making the four key moves of spiritual expansionomics we've shared this morning, and just do it throughout the year. Just do it throughout the year. Just say, I'm going to live at the Jordan. I'm going to live at the Jordan, and I'm going to be someone that's looking to the Spirit, and I'm going to live in the place, Lord, where you have miracles in my life. It's a year where I'm going to step into new things. Lord, it's a time when I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. This is not a time I've been contracted. It's time to expand. It's time to expand. You know, it's all part of your experiencing your biblical potential of being made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. He fills all things everywhere. The expansive Christ. Oh Lord, that's what I want to know you as this year. To him be the thanks and the glory. So let's look to him now in prayer. And now if I could add to that blessing, if you kindly stand. That's our prayer. Can I get an amen? Lord, that you would bless me indeed. Dear ones, now may God help you at the beginning of this new year to turn to him. May he help you to change your world, beginning with you. May he help you to know that it is only in obedience to his will that you'll find happiness this year. May he grant you a fresh start, a new beginning, that in the new life which he offers you, you may prove him to be true. May you set out into this new year with your trust in him. And may the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and with all God's children now and always. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.